On eBay, every find has a story. Like if you're looking for a vintage Banty. Not just the tee, the Banty. You wore it everywhere. Until your BFF stole it. Now you're on eBay. And there it is. Same tee, from the same tour. The things you love have a way of finding their way back to you. Especially on eBay. Where else can you find that mint trading card you searched everywhere for? Or your first car, the one you wished you never sold? It has to be eBay. Shop eBay for millions of finds, each with a story. eBay. Things people love.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Monday, the 5th of January, year of our Lord 2026. Well, it's a new year, and it's already a year of war and chaos. What do you think the consequences are going to be for the Venezuelan kidnapping and invasion? And I'm not talking about immediate consequences, but long-term. And there will be consequences, domestically and internationally. Where will Trump attack next? Will it be Iran, Mexico, Canada? Maybe Greenland? And what about this whataboutism that we see his apologists putting out there? Do you understand that is nothing other than the living constitution idea of the left being adopted by the right? It's all about being ruled by precedence instead of by written law. And then we're going to take a look at the calls from Israeli powerful people to end the First Amendment in the United States, as we're told, to save it. We have to end it to save it. And we have fourth turning unrest that is accelerating even in Iran. So we're going to take a look at this and what did you notice about New Year's Eve this year? We saw something that was radically different in our family and in friends and family across the country. Well, I'm going to begin with an op-ed piece that we just put up this morning on Substack, my opinions about this. I called it, it's a long title, Trump's Venezuelan Oil Heist, the logical progression of the drug war from domestic theft to global predatory and piracy, and the death of law, really. You know, it's been a long time, it's been clear for a long time that Trump's cover story about Venezuela and fentanyl was a lie. Everybody knew it. Trump knew it. They would tell you out loud what they were really going to do, what they really wanted, regime change, the oil, all the rest of this stuff, and then he would come back to it periodically. Well, now they have come back to it again. They've come back to this by pretending that it is a law enforcement operation. Even as the Trump administration spoke about regime change and getting the oil, they would periodically return to the narrative of fentanyl tracking. With such bold defiance of the Constitution as well as international law about the conduct, even a declared war, why return to the drug war narrative? Well, Americans have long been asleep over the true purpose of the drug war. Listen, it was never about ending the drug addiction of individual Americans. It was always about feeding the addiction to power of the U.S. government. And to do that, they had to sweep aside the law. It's a perfect vehicle for that. And now we've seen this play out, not just domestically, but internationally. Like Trump's phony declared emergencies to give himself powers of a dictator, the drug war has been serving the same purpose for government and law enforcement in general for over 50 years now. So what's new is the aspect of militarized, quote-unquote, law enforcement and global civil asset forfeiture taken up to the level of oil tankers with millions of barrels of oil on them. This is something that was created by the drug war. It's being taken to an international level. Gone is the usual CIA tactic of assassination. We have to pretend now that we're upholding some standard of law as they violate every law and moral principle in this action. It's just like the Israeli guy who, Shlomo is his first name. He said, we got to destroy the First Amendment in order to save it in America. Well, you try to do that and see what happens. That's one of the reasons why there's so much blowback against Israel. Confiscating cars, homes, businesses without finding anybody guilty, without even charging them with a crime, has now gone to the international level. We skip the due process of deliberations and declarations about war, and we just go straight for the spoils. Our government has been operating as thieves domestically for so long, they're now obviously extending the practice to piracy abroad. It's disheartening to see people abandon their former principles, and I'm talking about the grassroots people here, and cheer the theft of oil. Commentators like the Kobayashi letter are so excited that we just took control of $17 trillion worth of oil. He wrote on Twitter, he said, in just 12 hours, the U.S. has gained control of oil reserves worth more than the entire GDP of all countries in the world, except for the U.S. and China. That's four times larger than the GDP of Japan. Most people don't realize how much the world just changed. Well, I have to ask all these people, he put that, or whoever it is, no, he or she or whoever, put that tweet out and everybody started copying it. I mean, copying it verbatim. Got a tremendous amount of play. And he had a lot of MAGA people, a lot of people who would call themselves conservatives, but they're not trying to conserve anything. They're not trying to conserve morality or the rule of law, any of that stuff. So I just ask you, who is going to profit from this wealth? Who do you think? We've already had a couple of dozen businessmen, I'm going to talk about this, have gone down to Venezuela to loot the country. These vulture capitalists will profit, but there won't be $17 trillion paid down on our $38 trillion debt. And think about it. You know, we had, when Trump ran back in 2016, and he was being interviewed, he said and asked about his opposition to regime change. And he was adamant we shouldn't be doing that. He said, come on, we've got a $19 trillion deficit here in the United States. We should be taking care of things here domestically instead of getting involved in these expensive wars abroad. Well, he and Biden have doubled that $19 trillion deficit. They don't care, or debt. They don't care at all about the debt. And so, of course, as they point out, you know, $17 trillion of estimated oil in the ground at today's market prices, that ignores the fact that you've got to extract that and do other things that are going to be expensive. But they said, oh, even taking half of that. You know, so we got $8.5 trillion that we just took overnight. Isn't that great? We have an America that cheers that. We have conservatives who cheer that. And it's for partisan reasons. You know that they would not be cheering it if it was the Democrats doing it. They would oppose it. We have no principles. We only have political parties left. And so when Trump ran, again, it was only $19 trillion. And 5 years of Trump and 4 years of Biden, they have doubled that. This is not going to go into some imaginary sovereign wealth fund. It will go to American oil companies. And guess what? The big businesses like that don't pay taxes. And we're going to talk about the taxes coming up. Marjorie Taylor Greene wants people to go on a tax revolt. I think you should understand just how revolting this whole system is. And you should understand that they don't care if you don't pay the taxes. Oh, they'll throw you in jail probably. But it really isn't going to put any kind of restrictions on them. The only thing that's going to restrict them is a loss of reserve currency status, which is happening because of these types of actions by Biden and by Trump. That will stop them. The income tax is not there to fund the government. Don't be stupid. The income tax is there to defund you, to keep you poor, so that you don't threaten them. That's the purpose of the income tax, Charlie Brown. So it's not going to go into some imaginary sovereign wealth fund. And it's not even going to go to recouping the costs of this military operation. No, it's going to go into the pockets of people who are cronies and donors of Trump. It'll be a windfall profit for them, just like the windfall profit that Trump gave Pfizer and Moderna. We paid for their production of these bioweapons, and we handed that stuff to them, and they got to keep all of the profits because it was part of their bigger agenda. Same thing is going to happen with this. Expect to see a lot of billionaires made overnight out of this type of thing, just like we saw with Pfizer and Moderna. Trump gave them the bioweapon. He paid for it. He put it on the national credit card while he bribed the hospitals to kill people with ventilators and call it a pandemic. And speaking of which, somebody made a perfectly timed move in the financial markets just to take advantage of this, just like 9/11. Isn't that interesting?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
More shocking than Trump's action in Venezuela is reaction to this domestically. Nothing shows the corruption and the moral bankruptcy of the USA more than the "I voted for this" crowd. They're cheering lies. They're cheering corruption. They're totally oblivious to the precedents being set. Even as they come back and say, well, so-and-so did it, so what about it? So now we can do it, right? And they don't realize how that is undermining the rule of law, the Constitution, all the rest of this stuff, which, again, we know that they take an oath to it and immediately break that. So this is power that they don't realize. This is power that will be used. It will be used by people you don't like. It'll be used for purposes that you don't like and policies that you don't like. Why are they cheering this? This is stupid. As seeing the leftist cheering Mom Danny when he says, the era of big government is back. And they say, oh, I haven't felt this great since Obama. There's a kind of sadomasochism about that, isn't it? It's like, tie me up and beat me with government. I just love it when you do that. And put a gag in my mouth, too, like the cutting down on free speech. But the MAGA crowd is doing the same thing. It's not just the precedent for lawlessness and chaos at home. How can the Trump administration even protest China taking Taiwan after this Venezuelan precedent? He can't. He's put a stake through the heart of international law and ethics that says large countries must not unilaterally take whatever they wish. The rule of law and borders have been erased. The new precedent is a prescription for war. It is for a full-on melee to loot whatever you can take. When I look at this, and I look at what Trump is doing, it looks to me like a riot in a city where people are setting things on fire and just grabbing everything they can get. The difference is that this is billionaires and corporations that are doing it. And Trump, of course, is lighting the fire. The rule of law and borders have been erased. The new precedent is a prescription for war, to take whatever you want. Wasn't that the problem that we had with Hitler and Tojo, World War II? And you know, there was more justification for Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor than for Trump's attack on Venezuela. We had been engaged in strangling sanctions, as Gerald Celente has pointed out many times. When he comes on, he always likes to talk about that. We had been engaged in sanctions that were strangling them. And Venezuela has done nothing to us, nothing. All the guardrails, all the restrictions on unlimited power are being removed globally. From free speech and due process and individual rights and the idea that war should only be done as a last resort, only done defensively for peace, that there need to be some guardrails so we don't have total war. Our professing Christian Warpeet, Secretary of Defense, is the one who's leading the charge on all that stuff. Out there saying, well, they effed around, they found out. I gotta say, Pete Hegseth, please cover up your tattoos and stop talking about your Christian beliefs. You are a reproach to everything that Christ stood for, everything that he taught. You have no reason to put that on. You're taking the name of Christ in vain. Well, you know, I've gone on this tirade here. Let me play something for you, though, that is a satire, because I think satires may be even more effective. Here's a guy who put up a video talking about how he's done regime change on his next-door neighbor in his neighborhood.
In a stunning late-night operation, I had some friends of mine execute a raid on my neighbor Tom's house. He put up quite a fight, but we got through, and he's in custody. I haven't liked what he's been doing over there for a while now, so I've decided to run his house myself. He leaves his Christmas lights up too long. He never trims his avocado tree that hangs over my fence, and I believe he's running fentanyl out of there. I can't prove the last one, but it makes sense. I've seen him speak Spanish. I got rid of the wife as well. I didn't really have a problem with her, but we did do a 4th of July block party, and she brought empanadas, so better safe than sorry. I've got them at a residence inn a couple towns over. I've been using his home as my own little man cave. Pretty great. It turns out he has a fantastic wine cellar that I have tapped into extensively. Anyway, I'll be running his home until a time when I can have a safe, proper, and judicious turnover to some other guy, which probably won't be happening soon. And just a heads up, I plan to take over some other neighbors' homes as well. Phil, across the street, has a pretty cool car I'd like to be in charge of. And Alex, who lives catty corner from me, has a wife who's a yoga instructor. Be taking that one soon. Again, doing it for the good of the neighborhood, so stay tuned.
I thought that was fine. I'm sorry, I don't know the name of that guy. I would love to give him credit. He deserves credit. That's excellent. The person who posted that up that I saw was not the same guy who did it, so I don't know who did that. But I do know who's doing this. You know, it was despicable over the weekend to see conservative outlets, news outlets, cheering all of this stuff. It began with Breitbart. Look at this, they said, and it had pictures of more ships being blown up. Operation Southern Spear. Isn't that great? You know, this childish love of war that you see with Mr. Lethality, War Pete. 5 narco terrorists killed on New Year's Eve. 3 more on December 30th. Isn't that great? And you know, as this stuff rolled out, you saw the headlines. That's Breitbart's headline before the invasion started. When the invasion started, This is from InfoWars. I'll read it to you. Saturday, emergency broadcast. Powerfully executed blitzkrieg. Destroyed Venezuela's forces in minutes. Clearing the way for Delta Force to capture the Venezuelan dictator Maduro. You know, Alex, you wonder why they call Trump a Nazi? It was because you're selling. Who was it that invaded other countries because they felt like they had a need? Who was it that did blitzkrieg? You guys are owning yourselves. It makes me disgusted that I ever worked for that shill of an organization and that guy. When I see that type of thing, I would have never worked for a company that did that kind of trash. And that's what it is. It's trash, Alex. You should be ashamed of yourself for pushing wars. When I went to work for you, you were pushing against wars. You've done a complete 180. You become a cheerleader for the military-industrial complex. You become a disinformation agent for the CIA. It's disgusting to see what you have become. As a matter of fact, I'll just put this here. I was going to play it later on, but I want to put this here. What will you be remembered for? Somebody put up. Think about how you want to be remembered. It's very creepy. This is frozen stuff. Dead Charlie Kirk, cobwebs frozen. Dead Laura Loomer, cobwebs frozen. There's Alex. Same thing. Cobwebs in the mouth, all the rest of this stuff. Is this how you want to be remembered? There's Elon Musk with his Nazi salute. Of course, the technocracy is not simply Nazi stuff. And here is Joe Rogan and Donald Trump, covered with cobwebs, frozen, dead, and Tucker Carlson. All these people. Ah, and there he is, Mr. Prosperity Gospel himself, Copeland. And Erica Kirk, grifters, taking the name of Christ in vain. And I don't know who these people are, but I guess the January the 6th rioters. So yeah, think about that. You know, we're just passing through this life. None of us has that much time left. A decade, 2 decades, 3 decades, whatever. That's not much time. Anyway, this is the kind of garbage these people put. Cheering blitzkrieg war. Cheering invasion. And it's oh so cool because look at our elite forces. You know, if you have that kind of power and you use it in an evil way, that's nothing to cheer about. I'm not cheering Delta Force with all this stuff. It's disgusting. I wish we didn't have that power, quite frankly. It makes us all less safe. When you look at this, the U.S. Southern Command, this is Breitbart, revealed on Wednesday two different military operations against drug trafficking. December 30th to 31st, it's part of Operation Southern Spear, and we've got Delta Force out there, and these people all regurgitate. Oh, look at the weapons they use. Look at how efficient this was and all the rest of this stuff. Cheerleaders. Cheerleaders. Cheer the war. Trump and War Pete. Maybe somebody in the future ought to get rid of them without due process. Of course, that's all about, it's now, why doesn't that happen? Not because they don't deserve it, but because people don't have the force, and we're now going to live in a world where there is no rule of force, no right or wrong. It's just rule by might. That's what these people represent. No principles whatsoever, except I want it, I'm going to take it. I mean, that's what Trump is saying about Greenland, right? So, again, three narco-terrorists, this is Breitbart again, aboard the first vessel killed in the first engagement. The remaining narco-terrorists abandoned the other two vessels, jumping overboard, distancing themselves before follow-on engagements on their respective vessels. In other words, we just keep going until we kill everybody. No quarter given. We become Santa Anna. That's what we become. It's disgusting. I may not be able to move to France, but I'm going to stop calling myself an American after what America has become. It's just, I'm disgusted with this, and I'm disgusted with the people who call themselves conservatives who cheer this stuff. The two operations announced by Southern Comm over the past hours reportedly brings the total of known narco-trafficking vessels struck in international waters to 35, and the number of people killed to 115. And they don't have a problem with that at all. They label these people narco-terrorists. Let me tell you who the real narco-terrorists are. The CIA. It's the deep state, the CIA, that Trump is serving, that Biden is serving, that Alex Jones is serving, that Breitbart is serving. That's the narco-terrorist organization out there. The deep state. They're cheerleading the deep state that wants perpetual war. That's what's really going on. So then they went from Operation Southern Spear to Operation Absolute Resolve.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Grow up, Pete, or else go back to your house and play with 10 soldiers on your desk. Trump telegraphed his plans for months, yet when it happened, Washington and Caracas were stunned, says the Wall Street Journal. I don't think at all we were stunned. I mean, I was surprised that they didn't kill Maduro, because that's really what the narco-terrorists of the CIA typically do when they overthrow a government. Why didn't they kill him? I mean, even if this is supposedly some kind of a law enforcement action, they're just bragging about how they killed 115 people without any due process because they knew they were guilty. Just, you know, from a distance you could tell it. So why didn't they kill Maduro? That's the real question. And perhaps it was because Trump wanted to parade him around, put this picture out on Truth Social. And, of course, even stranger, Trump put him in a van in New York City, and they drove around with the doors open to show everybody this is what it looks like. They literally did a parade. Folks, this is like a Roman Caesar who goes out and conquers and overthrows other countries and then brings back the leaders and parades them around. This is the 21st century equivalent of a Roman triumph parade. And of course, as this is all happening, Trump is building a massive monument to himself, like the Arc of the Triomphe in France. Many people calling it the Arch of Trump, which is really what it is. So does that make you feel safe? Is that a win for Team America? It's pathetic. It's foolish. It is utterly ignorant about the precedents and the implications for the future. But, of course, this is also one aspect of this that James Carville pointed out, because James Carville would know. He was right there with Clinton when Clinton did his wag the dog war to distract attention away from his sexual predations. Even as Ken Starr turned the spotlight away from the sexual predations and talked about a consensual relationship, he made it about Clinton being embarrassed to tell the truth about that and committing perjury under oath. It was a technicality. He completely, Kinstar completely overlooked the very credible allegations from Juanita Broderick and many others about sexual assault and rape. And Hillary Clinton called them bimbos and trailer trash. Remember that? That's kind of the same type of thing that we're seeing now here, isn't it? It's kind of interesting. I'm sure it's just a coincidence, don't you think? That a key Epstein deadline arrived just as Trump got everybody to look at what was happening in Venezuela. I'm sure it's just a coincidence, like it was with Bill Clinton. James Carville knows it's not a coincidence because he was probably orchestrating this type of stuff inside the Clinton administration. He kept saying, people don't care about that. They don't care about Monica Lewinsky. They're going to vote their pocketbooks, right? We just got to have good economy, and they don't care about this kind of stuff. But, of course, we can distract them with a war. So Trump invaded a sovereign nation and kidnapped its leaders just as an inconvenient deadline was looming for the Justice Department to explain its controversial Epstein redactions. While the deadline came and went last month, the Trump administration has faced serious questions regarding its decisions about what to redact. And, of course, as Ro Khanna and Thomas Massie are pointing out, they said on Friday they would be bypassing the Department of Justice to demand that all the files be made public by asking the Southern District Court of New York to appoint a special master to ensure that all the documents are released. They're also seeking to hold Pam Bondi in contempt of Congress, which would result in her being fined for every day that the Department of Justice fails to release the files in their entirety. They estimate that they won't finish reviewing the remaining files until at least January the 20th. They wrote on social media, the Department of Justice did, "We have lawyers working around the clock to review and make the legally required redactions to protect Trump." Victims, yes. "And we will release the documents as soon as possible." As a matter of fact, she said that they've got 400 lawyers helping with it. You know what you get with 400 lawyers? 800 opinions at least. It's amazing that they could get anything done. But anyway, this is another aspect of what's going on. And it's important that we not forget the corruption of Trump. Because, look, it's these intelligence agencies like the CIA, like the Mossad, that are running the blackmail operations of Jeffrey Epstein to get what they want out of the politicians. I mean, they offer them both a carrot and a stick. You do what we want, and we'll give you money. If you do what we don't want, you'll not only not get the money, but we'll show everybody these videos that we've got of you. That's the reality of how they get their way. It's no mystery. They don't want you to see that. So, meanwhile, you got 20 U.S. investors, they call them, says Business Insider, already planning a trip to Venezuela in March. The vulture capitalists. Yes, it is true, isn't it? The love of money is the root of all evil, and it is also the root of all wars as well. You know, when you go back and you look at the bankers, right? This has been around forever. Going back to the Civil War, for example, it was commonly said, rich man's war, poor man's fight. Absolutely was true. Rockefeller paid his way out of that war, and he used it to begin to set up a monopoly on the refineries up in Pennsylvania, which at the point in time was the only source of petroleum that anybody knew anything about, and they needed that because they'd lost access to turpentine from the South because of the war. And so Smedley Butler knew that. You know, now it's oil. When he was around a century ago, it was about fruit companies, but now it's about oil. But it wasn't about fruit companies, and it wasn't about oil. It was about bankers and money, ultimately. That's what it really is always about. So investors are already eyeing financial opportunities in Venezuela. How long before you have Jared and his friends go sniffing around? Jared Kushner and his friends. This one guy, Charles Myers, is quoted by Business Insider, say he's chairman of the political risk advisory firm Signum Global Advisors and former vice chairman of Evercore. He said, I think the centerpiece of Venezuela's success, looking out 12 months or even 24 months, is foreign investment. And a big part of the Venezuelan story, starting today, is foreign investment, especially in oil. Boy, this guy's a real genius, isn't he? They're going to leverage their vast wealth to go in and take over everything. And it is a leverage. I mean, they're going to get thousands of times of their money back off of this stuff. But look, it really is about war for oil, for money.
Americans who do not understand why we need to go in for three reasons. You're in Fox business. Venezuela, for the American oil companies, will be a field day because it will be more than $1 trillion in economic activity. American companies can go in and fix all the oil pipe and the whole oil rigs and everything that has to do with the Venezuelan petroleum companies or anything that has to do with oil and the derivatives. Number
That's Maria Salazar out of Florida, Congresswoman, who is cheering this. It's great. $1 trillion. Look at all the money we get. We see this theme over and over again. It's okay because we're the strongest, and we just showed how strong we are. And we're going to be the wealthiest because we steal whatever we want. Again, I'm disgusted with America from the top to the bottom. Disgusted with what I see. People have seen this coming, especially very smart investors, and many of them actually bought bonds in anticipation of this, said Myers. Well, again, play it like 9/11. So Maduro is going to be indicted in the U.S. after the capture and after Trump's $50 million bounty on him. That's why he's in the Southern District of New York. The charges were filed there. And as one conservative influencer pointed out, said when Lala Harris pushed back against this and called it criminal, and she's right about that, of all things, but she's only saying it because of partisan reasons. But he came back and said, you don't even know what happened in your own regime. Yes, she doesn't. Because they weren't ruling it. She wasn't in charge. Biden wasn't in charge. Guess what? Same people were in charge then that are in charge now. And it really hasn't changed. He said, you put a bounty on his head as well. So you're saying that he was guilty. You wanted him arrested. Well, there's a big difference between putting a bounty on somebody's head, and there's a difference between invading another country and bombing civilians in order to do an extraction of an individual rather than extradition when you can't get it from a head of state.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is where all the MAGA whataboutism is so deadly to the rule of law. Well, okay, so Biden did it, so we can do it. No discussion about what the law says. No debate about whether the allegations are real or not. No due process about any of that. And I'm not taking Maduro's side. I'm not somebody I care anything about one way or the other. I'm just, what I care about is due process. I care about us and our government not becoming a gang of thugs, not becoming the biggest mafia in history. What the Trump administration is, folks, is organized crime. It is racketeering and corrupt organization. That's what it is. Trump's illegal actions are, people are complacent about that. So, again, she doesn't know what's going on. Biden didn't know what's going on. The country is being run by the deep state. And you've now got the conservatives cheering the deep state. You've got the news media outlets like Breitbart and InfoWars cheering the deep state, cheering the deep state's wars. They're not necessary. Venezuelan president is going to stand trial in the U.S. as Trump captures the leader and his wife after explosions rock the Capitol. This is Daily Mail headline. So, yeah, we take the president and we do the due process later. We have the war, and we don't bother with due process at all about that. So this is done as law enforcement. We don't care about the law. Again, the tortured logic of this illegal war. Trump says that he warned Maduro to surrender. Hey, I told him to get out. He didn't listen to me. You know, you guys need to take my threats seriously because I'm a mafia leader. Well, you know, I don't agree with John Stewart on politics, but he nailed this war thing better than anybody in MAGA did.
Rock Venezuela, go!
We're giving them full opportunity to do it the easy way. And when it doesn't work, we'll do it the hard way.
If we can do things the easy way, that's fine. And if we have to do it the hard way, that's fine too.
Chemical weapons is a threat to the United States.
Fentanyl poses a chemical weapons threat to the United States.
Al-Qaeda terrorists inside Iraq.
Al-Qaeda of our hemisphere.
If we can get rid of Saddam, it could really begin to transform the region.
There's an opportunity to transform the entire region.
Bringing freedom and democracy.
Democracy and freedom can serve as a
beacon of hope.
Shock and awe.
Boy, I tell you, they can't even come up with any new lies. This is like a recycled Disney film, isn't it? And it's not Disney values here, or, well, the old Disney values. But again, power does not equal authority. Those are two very different things. And they tell you the same lies to sell the war over and over again. Whether it's Iran, whether it's Iraq, or whether it's Venezuela, same thing. You know, I told him, yeah, I warned him, you have to do what I say. I'm going to come in there. And we have weapons of mass destruction. Remember that whole lie? And, of course, Trump, when he was running, told everybody, he said, that was a lie. He was the first one of these candidates to come out and say, we were lied into the Iraq War. Everybody knew it at that point in time. But he was the first one to say it. And then what does he do? He takes the woman who produced the lies using torture and then covered up the torture, and sold those lies to the administration and the public in order to have the war. Gina Haspel, he put her in charge of the CIA his entire time. I mean, she's technically number two under Pompeo, but, you know, Pompeo's basically a figurehead. And then he promoted her in the second half of his administration to CIA head. He owned all that. He told us that she lied us into a war, and then he makes her the head of the CIA. Trump said that Maduro was in a house that was more like a fortress than a house. Does Trump live in a place that's more like a fortress than a house? I mean, what about Mar-a-Lago? You don't think that he's got a safe room in Mar-a-Lago? I wonder how many safe rooms he's got in Mar-a-Lago. What about the White House? Is it a fortress? This is what I said. This is absolutely amazing. You know, that this shows that Maduro is a crook. because he's living in a fortified house with guards and a steel door. Trump says it had steel doors, what they call a safety space, solid steel all around. And as if he doesn't have that orders of magnitude more. He was trying to get into the room, but he got bum-rushed so fast that he didn't get into it. But he said, didn't matter if he did. The guys that were there had blow torches on them and special steel cutting equipment that could have broken through the safe room. So it's just amazing. Amazing thing. Amazing job that these people did. Isn't that great, you know? Yeah. When you have that kind of force at your fingertips, you have to be held to a higher standard. So, I'm just going to say, the way this guy's going to war with everybody globally, Trump better make sure that he's got really good doors in that bunker that he's building that he calls the ballroom. His ballroom bunker with all the wars that he's starting. He says he watched the whole thing from his home in Mar-a-Lago. He said it was like watching a TV show. Yeah, I know. I've seen the reruns over and over again. I've seen this movie before. Bondi said they will soon face the full wrath of American justice on American soil and American courts. Well, your day's coming too, Bondi. You better hope that Trump's got a preemptive pardon for you. And you better hope it sticks. The PSA for, here's Vance saying, here's a PSA for everyone saying that this was illegal. Maduro had multiple indictments in the U.S. for narco-terrorism. Oh, okay, so if you got an indictment against somebody in absentia, then that's a green light to invade a country? That is the absurdity that's being sold by J.D. Vance. It's also the absurdity that's been bought into by Mike Lee, who likes to describe himself as somebody who follows the rule of law and the Constitution. He got into a lot of trouble for questioning Trump on this. He got ratioed on Twitter. And I'll talk about that in just a moment here. But anyway, this is the war on drugs. The logical progression, as I said at the beginning, of this cancer that is called the war on drugs. It is metastasized throughout every police department in our country, and now it is moving to the international level. And it's not a surprise, because the war on drugs was not an invention of that despot Richard Nixon. If the president does it, it's not illegal, right? It was created by the United Nations, and they were the ones to cry the first and the loudest about the decriminalization of medical marijuana. It is a UN agenda, and the Republicans love this UN agenda. As I said before, it was never about individual addiction to drugs. It was about the government's addiction to power and how they had to remove the rule of law in order to be able to satisfy that addiction. So War Pete tweeting out, he effed around and found out. Yeah, good for you. Spoken like a thug that you are. Trump says, we will run Venezuela. Okay, well, yeah, Trump has tried to run America as well. You know, he's taking over companies and he's wants to run the companies. He's not just like, this is a failing company that's important. Here's some money. You guys try to get this thing together. No, he wants to actually run the country, companies, and run the country. And he wants to run the country into the ground, quite frankly. It's what he's doing with his tariffs and his vacillation. Actually, it's more like oscillation. Because it's on again, off again, on again, off again. After all of his failed central planning, after all of the failed nation building that we have done in various places that we've destroyed, he's now going to run Venezuela. Actually, it's going to be Marco Rubio. Little Marco is going to run Venezuela. he may deliberately run it into the ground just because he's got an axe, a chip on his shoulder. And an axe to grind. He doesn't like Cuba. He's trying to run Cuba into the ground. His family migrated from Cuba. So he really has been aching to get back at Cuba for the longest time. Well, you know, Trump has bankrupted half a dozen casinos. Maybe We'll see how many countries he can bankrupt. Not just the U.S., but maybe he can also bankrupt Venezuela. We'll see. Again, somebody who is the king of debt, the king of bankruptcy. Trump doesn't know anything about running anything. He's a lucky loser, as the book pointed out. He comes in with a big stash of cash, and he doesn't know how to operate it. They're now closing in in the next year or two, on $40 trillion. Yeah, that's Trump. It was 19 when he was running for president.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
No service members or military equipment was lost. Isn't that great? Well, it is great. I'm glad to see that no Americans were killed, but they don't care if Venezuelan civilians are killed. That doesn't matter, right? Not in their calculation. That's one of the first issues that shows you how we have lost our moral compass. We're going to stay in Venezuela until such time as a proper transition can take place. We're going to do nation building and a little bit of nation looting as we go along. And right away, he comes out and trashes the woman who was the leader of the opposition, the one who won the Nobel Prize for Peace over him. He trashes her, and he makes overtures to the vice president of Venezuela, who is a hardcore socialist and Zionist. And that was one of the things that was unforgivable for Maduro. He was anti-Israel. He was pro-Iran. In terms of his rhetoric, he didn't really have much that he could do about it, but he had to be taken out. So Trump repeated the claim that Venezuelan seized and stole American oil. You know, that was America's oil in the ground that was there. Yeah, that's right. Trump says what happened to Maduro can happen to others in Venezuela. It can happen to other countries as well. That's why I call him President Trump. He says he's not afraid to deploy troops to Venezuela if needed. Well, finally, the Senate may have something to say about that. They're talking about stopping him from sending any more troops. But there's going to be a lot of troops that are going to be necessary to be sent to Venezuela if you look at the past. It'd be a shame, he says, if anything were to happen to Venezuela. So you just do what I say, right? Just like a mafia boss. Nice country you got there. A lot of oil you got there. It'd be a shame if anything were to happen to that. Yeah, well, you know, it wasn't that long ago that Tulsi Gabbard, it was only 2 months ago, she said this about regime change.
The old Washington way of thinking is something we hope is in the rearview mirror and something that has held us back for too long. For decades, our foreign policy has been trapped in a counterproductive and endless cycle of regime change or nation building. It was a one-size-fits-all approach of toppling regimes, trying to impose our system of governance on others, intervene in conflicts that were barely understood, and walk away with more enemies than allies. The results? Trillions spent, countless lives lost, and in many cases a creation of greater security threats. The rise of Islamist terrorist groups like ISIS. President Trump was elected by the American people to put an end to this. And from day one, he has showed a very different way to conduct foreign policy.
That didn't age too well, and that was only 2 months ago. And, of course, Tulsi Gabbard, when she was running for president, what was it, back in 2020? She was saying the same things. She hasn't changed in what she's saying. But she is completely out of step with the new Donald Trump. And the new Donald Trump is completely out of step with candidate Trump as well. Remember this?
The country until such time as we can do a safe, proper, and judicious transition. Our current strategy of nation building and regime change is a proven absolute failure.
We will break the cycle of regime change.
We must abandon the failed policy of nation building and regime change that Hillary Clinton pushed in Iraq, in Libya, in Egypt, and in Syria. Regime change takes chaos.
You've seen how that works over the last 20 years. That hasn't been too good.
Not a reckless interventionist globalism.
We're getting out of the nation-building business. We're going to stay until such time as the proper transition can take place.
Yeah, that was then, this is now, right? And that's one of the reasons why a lot of MAGA people are feeling betrayed yet again. How many times does it take before you people get out of your stupor? And then we've got Kristi Noem talking about the fact that we're going to now bring in Venezuelan immigrants, refugees. And of course, this is one of the things people said from the very beginning, as they said, if Trump goes into Venezuela, we're going to be flooded with Venezuelan immigrants. And now Kristi Noem, head of ICE, is ICE's department underneath her. But now she's cheering this.
Venezuela today is more free than it was yesterday, and it's going to continue to be that way as long as President Trump is in the White House and is making sure that he's protecting the interests of the American people, because that ripple effect will continue to bring that kind of liberty to Venezuela as well. These programs, we're bringing integrity back to them. The decisions are made in conjunction with the State Department, with the White House, and then we at Homeland Security implement them and make sure that they are followed through. So every individual that was under TPS has the opportunity to apply for refugee status, and that evaluation will go forward. But we need to make sure that our programs actually mean something and that we're following the law. And that's how that decision with TPS was made.
Yeah, under Biden, they gave them a temporary protected status, I think is what TPS stood for. But that's essentially what it was. That's not exactly the words that they used. He wanted to have more people from Venezuela. And Maduro was opening up his prisons just like Castro had done when I was living in Florida as a young man, sending in criminals into Florida from Cuba. And so it's not just blood. It's not just treasure. It's also immigration. And that's what we get out of all this, right? We get a flood of Venezuelan immigrants. Just get a pass to come in, just like under Biden. Isn't that interesting? But thing that we have to focus on, as Trump is saying, just focus on the fact this is one of the most stunning, effective, and powerful displays of the American military. Yes, think of it as a fireworks display. So it was a culmination of months of planning and rehearsal, an operation that frankly only the U.S. military could have undertaken, said the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Kane. It's something that they have now unleashed as a new Pandora's box of chaos. And they're going to reap the whirlwind with China. You just watch and see what happens with this. So as all this is happening, War Pete says, well, they effed around and found out. And Trump says, these other people down there in Latin America, they need to watch their ass. That's what he had to say. These guys are crude thugs. They're mafia. They're RICO kind of guys. Finally, Secretary of State Marco Rubio appeared to directly threaten the leaders of Cuba. If I were in power in Cuba, I'd be very worried right now. He's not very worried about being in power in Venezuela, as many people are pointing out. He's going to be the viceroy of Venezuela. Kind of alliteration that, at least sounds impressive, whether it is or not. It just means he's going to govern it. You think he's up to the task? He's already got a lot of different hats that he's wearing. He's already a Secretary of State and other powers that we haven't seen since Richard Nixon gave that kind of authority to Henry Kissinger. So now he gets to rule Venezuela as well. And again, you keep hearing this rhetoric, just as John Stewart pointed out. He didn't put this one in. They love to talk about shock and awe. Shock and awe. That's what it's all really about, right? Just recycled sound bites. And hey, we got the...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com is a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Power, we should use it to steal. Jonathan Turley said this operation would be justified as executing a criminal warrant and responding to an international drug cartel, a very similar legal framework to the one used against Noriega in 1989. There is precedent for supporting this, he says. Well, you know what George H.W. Bush did when he went after Noriega was criminal. And the Panama invasion was criminal. There was an excellent documentary about that. It was narrated by Elizabeth Montgomery. I remember we had it in our video store, and I pushed it to everybody who could. You should go back and take a look at that precedent that was there. And you should understand that... Strongman Noriega, that's what George H.W. Bush always called him. Strongman this, strongman that. And wouldn't call him the president. They have to pretend that this person is not the legitimate leader of the country. And that's the same pretense that you see from Marco Rubio now. And the reality is that Noriega was running drugs with the CIA, with the biggest narco-terrorist gang in the world, the CIA, until he decided that he was... big enough that he would break off from them and go his own way. That's why he had to be taken out. It was illegal, but who cares? We now have a precedent. And I'm surprised that Jonathan Turley, a lawyer, can't see this. As I said at the top of the hour, when you look at what all this precedent stuff is and all this, well, what about this? Look, Biden did this, or George H.W. Bush did it. There's never any question about whether or not it was illegal and they got away with it. You know, it's just like, well, wait, he stole that. I can steal it too. If I don't steal it, somebody else will. But somebody else has already stolen some stuff like that. So now I get to do it without any penalty. When you start governing by precedents and by emergencies and executive orders and all the rest of this stuff, that is a dictatorship, folks. That gets us away from the rule of law. And so if you're going to say, well, we can do this, even though it's against the law, we can do it because we had a former Republican president who did it, or we have a Democrat president who did it, that is the path to ruin, to lawlessness. Venezuela's hour of freedom has arrived, said Maria Corina Machado in a post. And we are ready for the reconstruction of our nation. Except that she was immediately dissed by Trump. I do think that I wasn't the only one to say it. I saw somebody else say it after I said it. Personally, I had not seen what they said, but they came to the same conclusion independently, so I'm saying that part of this is Trump's being a sore loser about the Nobel Prize. He's not going to put the lady that he lost the Nobel Prize to in charge of Venezuela when he wanted it. So again, they put this guy on board the Iwo Jima, Maduro, and they take his picture, handcuffs and blindfolds. You know, I look at that and I think, you know, Americans in my parents' generation fought and died for liberty for America. So this mafia don, Trump, can rule like a cartel warlord. I'm absolutely disgusted with this country, with this government, with this military, and the people who make excuses for it. Critics say the operation goes against Trump's campaign promise to end forever wars and regime change policies. As this article on Zero Hedge says, libertarians will probably be furious. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody who cares about the rule of law and liberty should be furious. And yet, pretty much crickets out there. However, says Zero Hedge, from Trump's perspective, eliminating a hostile communist regime that is a key ally of China and Russia in the Western Hemisphere fits directly into the administration's America First policy. Not at all. As a matter of fact, he doesn't want the woman who beat him for the Nobel Peace Prize that he wanted. Instead, what he's doing is he's taking this really hardcore communist who is the vice president and putting her in charge. All these people in MAGA who are saying, well, he had to get rid of these people because they're communists, they really don't know what they're talking about. Anybody who cares about the rule of law, not just libertarians, but if you care for liberty and peace, especially, you should be furious. But that's not what Breitbart, InfoWars, or apparently, you know, WorldNet Daily, any of these Trump cheerleaders of war, maybe not even Zero Hedge, that's not really what they care about. They just want central planning, and they don't mind the corruption that comes with it. So it would appear that a forever war is not in the cards with Maduro in custody. You don't think so? You know, what America has been very good at, and I remember when the Iraq War was being debated, I remember the phrase very clearly from National Review. They said at the time, the U.S. can and should reduce the Iraqi military to twisted metal. I think that was during the first Gulf War, because I think it was William F. Buckley, and I don't know if he was alive at the second one or not. But that really stuck with me, especially as we watched this thing unfold. Yes, the U.S. military is very good at reducing other militaries to twisted metal. What they're really poor at is occupying a country. What they're really poor at is building and looting the other countries. What they're really poor at is asymmetric warfare. We have failed in that repeatedly. And so we love to brag about our complex weapon systems that can take out their weapon systems. But over and over again, we see that as a Pyrrhic victory. Venezuela is not the only country south of the border that protects the activities of drug cartels, said Trump. So now, we can put some other ones on the list. Is this starting to sound like what Wesley Clark said about the Middle East? You know, we got a list of 7 different countries, and they're just going down the list. This is a prescription, folks, for endless war, one after the other. I think 2026 is going to be a year of war, and I would not be surprised to see China. They're going through a lot of drills, a lot of buildup for an invasion of Taiwan, and I would not be surprised at all to see them do that. So, again, the question is, as Zero Hedge writes, Venezuela is not the only country south of the border that protects the activities of drug cartels. Are you going to still try to sell that lie that this is about drugs? Come on. Stop circling back to that lie. Zero Hedge, you should be better than this. I know they have a lot of different people write articles, and so you get a lot of different angles from it. But some of them are really stupid and dishonest. The Democrats will seize on every opportunity to label Trump as a warmonger. Well, yeah, because he is. You know, it is a partisan thing. They would not call their own people warmongers. But they will tell you the truth about Trump. And I've said this about the foreign press as well. You know, I like to read RT because RT will tell you the truth about America, but they'll lie about Russia. And the U.S. press will lie about America, but they'll tell you the truth about Russia and vice versa. Well, the same thing is true of the two political parties. Many conservatives are taking a F Venezuela approach and argue that it is high time something was done about an abusive, corrupt communist enclave in America's backyard. What Trump is doing is putting one of these abusive, corrupt communists in power, right? And you just do what I tell you to do. You better do it. So Pete Hegseth says that the U.S. intervention in Venezuela is the exact opposite of Iraq. Maybe what he means is that instead of nation building, we're going to be involved in nation looting.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Be the exact opposite. We spent decades and decades and purchased in blood and got nothing economically in return. Trump is now going to flip the script, says Hegseth. So now we're going to go in, we're going to take the oil, we're going to loot the country. Is that any better? And who gets that money? As I said before, it's not going to be even used to pay down the debt. It's not going to be used to pay for the missiles and the bombs. And that's not even calculating lives that are lost on both sides. Who gets this money? Who gets this money? Well, as I pointed out, Maria Salazar said the oil companies are going to make trillions of dollars off of this stuff. That's right. It'll be money for the big oil. It'll be money for big pharma. And you and I get the credit card bill, the national debt, if we don't get killed. Hegseth said that through strategic action, the U.S. can ensure that it has access to additional wealth and resources, enabling a country to unleash that without having to spend American blood. Yeah, War Pete goes full pirate. full theft. And again, the love of money, the love of the wealth that is in Venezuela that these communists can't extract. Why? Because they are trying to do central planning, but of course Trump's not going to learn any lessons about failures of central planning. Instead, they're going to cover it up by going down and just stealing stuff from other people. Except it's not going to be stolen to pay down the debt. It'll be given to the oil companies. So Hegseth says the hemisphere will benefit from Trump's bold action. Let me tell you what I think is a likely scenario to happen. Now, we're not going to see the Venezuelan military sail into Manhattan, you know, like the mouse that roared or something like that. We're not going to see that. As a matter of fact, when we look at the way these wars are going to unfold, here's my opinion. Here's what I see happening with it. I don't think that if things get really bad and Russia wants to attack us or China wants to attack us, I mean, there could be a direct confrontation over Taiwan if we're stupid enough. But the way it's really going to unfold is going to be done in a way that gives them plausible deniability. Russia and China even do not want to directly confront the United States with launching a missile, a nuclear missile. Only North Korea is crazy enough to do that. They don't really have the technology. But China and Russia don't want to do that. They would much rather use plausible deniability and attack our infrastructure. Just take a look at what's going on with Ukraine and Russia. Is Russia unleashing nuclear bombs? No, they don't want to invite a nuclear war. They're restraining that. Instead, what they're doing is they're launching drone attacks and sabotage acts on each other's infrastructure. You don't think that's going to happen here? If Russia and China really want to start something against us, they will engage in that type of thing. And guess who they will use? Drug cartels in Venezuela and Mexico to do that type of operation. And we've already seen the drug cartels in Mexico go after law enforcement, go after politicians, assassinate them and attack them. If that same thing were to happen here, whether it was the actual cartel doing it, or whether it was a false flag by our own government claiming that it was a cartel doing it, that will be the excuse that the Trump administration will use to enact actual martial law. And I believe that this rollout of the police is being done in a confrontational way as preparation for that. As I said before, if Trump wants to use a lot of force to deport people, he could have easily started in the states that are going to be friendly to that. Instead, he decided that he wanted the conflict more than he wanted the deportation. So he goes to Chicago, and he goes to New York, and he goes to Washington, D.C., because he thrives on conflict. This is the WWE presidency. And completely ignores the Somalians in Minnesota, which he knew about. That's been around since his first term. It was widely understood that these people were laundering and stealing money for El Shabaab, but he doesn't do anything about that in Minneapolis or Minnesota. Instead, he wants the conflict. What he wants is the militarized police, and he wants the military as police. And this is what Obama was doing. And when I was at InfoWars, we went to a great deal of effort to try to expose that to people. You know, Biggs and I risked a lot to go into that secure area within a military base at Fort Hill. I forget what they've called it now. They had to rename it because it was named after a Confederate general, Fort A.P. Hill. And there was an asymmetric warfare base that was there. We went in there, we filmed it. Alex was not happy with that, I got to tell you. He did everything he could to deep six that, and he never showed it again. But we broadcast live for a couple of hours there before we got arrested. And we got arrested because he demanded that we go back. I mean, I knew we were going to get in some hot water. That's why we left. I said, got Biggs to give me the cards, and we went to a mailbox, mailbox, et cetera, type of place. And I mailed it to my family, and because I figured we were going to be stopped at the airport before we got there. But Alex called back and demanded that we go back and take pictures at the entrance of AP Hill. Of course, immediately got arrested. We both knew that was going to happen. But anyway, So when you look at this, Trump has avoided the congressional approval for Maduro's capture. Of course he has. It raises constitutional concerns. Most Republicans, however, have chaired the action. Let me just say this. He doesn't want to have congressional approval for Maduro's capture. Why? He doesn't want the scrutiny. It's the same thing that you see with the climate people, you know, Michael Mann and others. Don't want you to see my data. I want you to follow my conclusions and enact policy based on my conclusion, but you can't examine the data. Same thing was true of the COVID so-called pandemic. Don't want you to see the data on that. Don't want you to see the data on the vaccines. Just trust me, it's safe and effective. Don't look at that. We're not going to show that to you. And so this is always the same thing. When people are afraid to show you the data, when they are afraid to make the case for what they want to do, when they're afraid to have debates and deliberations about wars, you know, it's a dirty lie. It's always in the cards. That's what this is ultimately about. Well, Mike Lee showed himself to be completely spineless sycophant. As a matter of fact, what he put out was, first he put out, "I look forward to learning what, if anything, might constitutionally justify this action in the absence of a declaration of war or authorization for the use of military force," he put out. Well, 1 hour later, he was begging, essentially begging for forgiveness. He got so heavily criticized and ratioed on social media over that initial post, which was true, that he comes back and says, "Well, I just got off the phone with Marco Rubio. He informed me that Maduro has been arrested by U.S. personnel to stand trial on criminal charges in the U.S., and that the kinetic action," what he means is dropping bombs on civilians, that's kinetic action, "that we saw tonight was deployed to protect and defend those executing the arrest warrant." Now stop and think about the absurdity of that. So we're doing a law enforcement operation. So there's a house that's got some drug dealers in. Let's say they got a meth lab or something, like Breaking Bad or something. So law enforcement is going to go in, and it's going to be necessary for them to bomb the houses in the neighborhood to get this one that is a meth lab. That's law enforcement?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Law enforcement? Mike Lee? Are you kidding me? You know what this is, you spineless coward. But he got ratioed even on that. The comments under that were, "I told you this, if you were listening," he goes, well, and he even came back to that. He says, "You're just some anonymous poster on Twitter. I'm going to the Secretary of State to know what this is." And he was, you know, making apologies and all the rest of the stuff about having questioned Trump's unconstitutional war. He pretends that bombing the city is okay because it is in support of Trump's kidnapping of a foreign leader. Really? That's that's what we're talking about here? And, you know, it's interesting if you go back and look at what the extradition process is. The extradition laws, when you charge somebody with something, and we can see this as it's played out with Netanyahu, you know, the bottom line is this is not a war. We never had a declaration. We've ignored the rules of war as we pretend that it's a war at sea. This is not about fentanyl. It's not about cocaine. And it doesn't matter if Biden and Trump had a bounty on Maduro. This is not a legal extradition. International law on extradition is primarily governed by bilateral and multilateral treaties between countries. There is no universal customary international law requiring states to extradite individuals. And so what this was an act of war. We don't have an extradition treaty with them. And, of course, you're not going to extradite the leader of a country ever. They say they typically follow the UN Nations Model Treaty on Extradition of 2004. It is a non-binding framework to guide states in drafting treaties or defining extradition as a surrender of a person who sought for prosecution or punishment of an extradition offense. And so the reality is that, first of all, usually extradition is recognized only if there is dual criminality. If it what the person is doing is a crime in that country as well as in our country. The alleged act must be punishable as a crime in both the requesting and requested states, often with a minimum penalty threshold, such as a year of imprisonment. Have you heard anybody talk about that and about what Maduro was actually charged with? I'll get to that in a minute, but it's not really anything that is that outrageous. As a matter of fact, when you look at the people that they have summarily executed in these boats, the Department of Justice routinely doesn't even bother to charge couriers of cocaine. And that's really what we're talking about there. So grounds for refusal are things like terrorism or violence against heads of state. Those are the exceptions for that. And when the indicted person is a high-ranking official of a foreign country, such as a head of state or a government minister, there's additional layers of customary handshaking that goes on. Serving heads of state enjoy absolute personal immunity and under customary international law, which generally protects them from arrest, prosecution, and extradition by foreign states while in office, regardless of the nature of the alleged crimes. This immunity stems from principles of state sovereignty and non-interference within a state from another state. And that's what the issue is here. It extends to acts performed in both official and private capacities. I think it's one of the reasons why you see that Trump's hero, Duterte, in the Philippines, who decided that he was going to just execute people that he thought had committed crimes, drug crimes. That's why they arrested him and put him in international criminal court after he left office. That's typically what you see. But this is also the reason why Rubio continues to pretend that Maduro is not president. No, he wasn't elected president. He's not president. He's just a usurper. He's sitting there. He's not really the president. I just have to ask this. What would Trump and the Zionists who support Netanyahu say? What would they say if Netanyahu were, assuming that people could do it, if Netanyahu were kidnapped? Let's say he's on a foreign trip or something. What would they say if Netanyahu was arrested? Because he does have the International Criminal Court has put out a warrant for his arrest. Now, that is not a government entity. That is it's an international tribunal. It's not a national court. But the International Criminal Court has an arrest warrant out for Netanyahu, charging him with war crimes, including starvation as a method of warfare and intentionally directing attacks against civilians. So would Trump and War Pete be in favor of somebody going and getting Netanyahu? As a matter of fact, there is a country that has charged him with crimes as well. In November, this last November, Turkey issued a national arrest warrant against Netanyahu for alleged genocide and crimes against humanity in Gaza, along with other senior Israeli officials. So, if allegations of something are sufficient, and if you can go get anybody that you allege has created a crime, including heads of state, you can kidnap them, what is the precedent that is being set here? That's something we should all think about. Well, I want to thank Star Barkley. Thank you for the tip. I appreciate that. Right, so just a tip to start off the new year with both feet on the ground, not right or left. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Flump76, thank you for the tip. Says, politicians get to rob the Treasury blind and then just invade other nations to get back on track. Rinse and repeat. I agree, except I don't think that this is going to get us back on track. I think all this excitement by the MAGA influencers over this and being picked up by the rank and file. Oh, look, you know, we just made $17 trillion. We're on the road to paying off our debt. No, I don't think a penny of that's going to go. Good luck in getting taxes from the oil corporations that are going to get this stuff handed to them. We all know how that works. Guard Goldsmith, Liberty Conspiracy. Good to see you there, Guard. Happy New Year. We are not individuals to them. We're not souls to them. We're nothing more than building blocks for their greater good. The pieces of their pyramid. That's right. We are livestock. Henry Kissinger has said as much about the military, even. HAPA power. Venezuela is free to have gay pride parade parties now. That's right. That was one of the things that many people pointed out, is that you can criticize him for being a communist, and yeah, he gets a zero on economics. He gets a zero on most liberty issues, but he also was standing the ground against the LGBT lobby, stood ground against child mutilation and sterilization and things like that. DGA, thank you for the tip. Says, David, tell me again how Trump is a Christian talking like that. MAGA will believe anything. Well, Trump, I don't know that he's actually said that he's a Christian. Pete Hegseth, I mean, he's, says he's a Christian. He's got it tattooed all over his arms and everything. Let me just say, you know, he's going to Doug Wilson's church plant there in Washington, D.C. Doug, you need to do some church discipline on this guy. You need to start talking to him about basic ethical and moral principles. You need to do a lecture series on the just war, understanding of war, that has informed Christian civilizations for quite some time.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Are you in Texas and are you tired of not being able to play blackjack, roulette, and even craps? Well, guess what? I got the solution for you. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. Has over 1,000 slots and table games you can play from the comfort of your own home, absolutely free, with the ability to win real cash prizes. Now get in your big diesel truck and go play SpinQuest today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I think he also writes, David, notice that Bibi comes here. The very next day, Trump threatens Iran and invades Venezuela. Who is in charge of the USA? Well, I think we know, right? As a matter of fact, when you look at this war for Israel, I talked about how they were leading this up and saying, well, okay, we can't get Trump to attack Iran again. You know, Netanyahu has been selling that lie that Trump is Iran is going to have a bomb any day now. Any day now, they're going to have a nuclear bomb. And he's been telling people that for 35 years. They're just days or months away. And so now Trump has bombed these facilities and said he completely destroyed them. So he can't make Trump lose face in that. So now they have to talk about the fact that it's about missiles in general. It's now become really vague. And it's just a general war against Iran. And, you know, that's the other thing that happened over the weekend. And that is the fact that, and I'm going to skip the break here, actually, because I want to talk about this since it was brought up. What is going on with Iran? Well, he's going to basically save the behind of the Ayatollahs with his talk. Yeah, we're locked and loaded. When you look at what is happening in Iran, Iran has is experiencing the same thing that a lot of countries are. You know, as Gerald Sunty said, this is a trend we're going to see. Gen Z, the up-and-coming generation, is looking at this and saying, we have no future. This is happening globally. You had riots in Nepal. You had riots in a lot of different areas about this type of thing. And now it's hitting in Iran. And Iran's economy has not been all that good. You know, people, it seems like people will put up with tyranny as long as the economy is good. But then once the economy starts to tamper down, people start to notice the tyranny and get really upset about that. They get upset because they don't have any future. And as we were looking at asymmetric warfare, that was the assessment of the Pentagon planners as they were talking about why they were doing so poorly in Iraq and other places. They said, you know, these, who are these people that are fighting us in Iraq? I said, well, they're typically not religious zealots. The religious zealotry comes later. What happens, first of all, is usually these people are well-educated. You know, many of them had degrees in engineering. They had a future. They came from a upper-middle class or wealthy family. And then all of a sudden, they feel like that's been taken away from them because of geopolitics. That's what motivates them. Then they bring in the religion aspect after the fact. But this is what is happening in Iran. And you go back and you look at what happened under the Shah. Under the Shah, the economic growth in Iran was staggering. We should have it so good here. We never have, not in my lifetime, when you look at what has happened in the United States. They were getting 13-14% a year economic growth. And it really kicked into high gear with OPEC stuff. But a lot of that was the U.S. Even as that was happening in the late 1970s, as I've said many times, there were a lot of engineering students who were Iranian at the University of South Florida, where I was in engineering. And I saw these guys out there. I didn't recognize them, but because they were wearing balaclavas. And so I knew there were a lot of these guys in engineering classes. I didn't usually talk to them, but I was curious because they were having all these protests and they were wearing these hoods. So I asked them, I said, what's that about? And they said, well, whenever we have a protest of what the Shah is doing, there are people in the crowd who are working for his secret police. They take pictures of us and they identify our families and they arrest our families, put them in jail, torture them. That's why we wear the masks. I said, that's horrible. I said, yeah, it's your government that trained them. It was the CIA. Again, back to the CIA, the criminal intelligence, let's just call them agency instead of a-holes, but the CIA trained the SAVAK, and it's very repressive. But by and large, the people put up with it until the economy tapered off and started to turn down a little bit. Part of the reason that it tapered off and turned down was because of people's reaction to that oppression, but all of a sudden, it accelerated as people and capital began fleeing from Iran. They could see the handwriting on the wall. And so perhaps the same type of thing could happen in Iran. You've had a lot of people that have been killed in a lot of riots that were there. You even had a situation of one guy doing a standoff to the militarized police, and they even called it Tehranian Square or something to that effect, referring back to Tiananmen Square. So what does Trump do? He threatens Iran. He threatens the Ayatollah government. Yeah, we're locked and loaded, he said. Do you understand that that is already being used by the Ayatollahs to say, well, look, that's the great Satan that's threatening us, to coalesce support around them. Always, people will take you to war in order to save their sorry domestic government. Trump is doing it for them. He's going to go to war with them. He's going to go to war with them with rhetoric. Trump is bailing out the Ayatollahs in Iran. And this is the insanity of our foreign policy to Iran. It's been wrong about everything. And American involvement with Iran did not begin with a takeover of the U.S. Embassy in 79. That was the end of decades of bad policy and oppression and torture and a murderous, tyrannical regime that we financed. And we thought we could get away with it because we were funneling money to them and they were seeing their standard of living rise. No, not necessarily. And so you see the same type of thing being done still in Iran. We never, ever learn. Never, ever learn. Guard Goldsmith says, even if the U.S. were to overlook international treaties and not ask for extradition, the Congress would have to pass letters of marque to hire people to go after enemy combatants or pirates, etc. Well, you're absolutely right. We don't care about any of that anymore, do we? Well, I am going to take a break here, and we're going to be right back. I do have a new song that we're going to play today. I hope you enjoy it, but I want to play a Christmas song here at this point in time. I know it's after Christmas, after New Year's, but I don't care. Before I run out of time, I want to talk about something else that dropped over the weekend that didn't get nearly as much attention as it deserved. This is a billionaire, an Israeli billionaire, who is involved in cybersecurity, and he runs Checkpoint Software, Cato Networks, and other things like that. His name is Shlomo Kramer. He came to the U.S. and said that we need to end the First Amendment in order to save it.
I know it's difficult to hear, but it's time to limit the First Amendment in order to protect it, and quickly before it's too late.
What do you mean?
We need to control the platforms, all the social platforms. We need to stack rank the authenticity of every person that expresses themselves online and take control over what they are saying based on that ranking.
The government should control the social media.
Yeah. All right, think about that. What does that mean? You know, first of all, what does it mean to say we need to end the First Amendment in order to protect it? What absurdity. What doublespeak. It's truly Orwellian. And when he starts talking about the state ranking authenticity, let's talk about that as well, right? They're going to rank you, and they're going to look at your authenticity, which means, do you agree with what the state has to say? I've talked many times about the CCPA. I call it the Chinese Communist Party of America, but actually it stands for the Coalition for Content Provenance and Authenticity. And this is a coalition of hardware and software companies, as well as news organizations and governments, to look at your content and to look at who that content is coming from. That's what they mean by provenance. They will then authenticate you and rank you. And if you are a despised person because of your opinions, you'll not be able to even create audio or video or still picture memes or write articles. They will block you. And you've got the big companies. Microsoft was heading all of this stuff, putting together this coalition. You had companies like Intel and ARM creating the processors. You had Adobe, software creator, all coming together in this coalition to identify you, to identify your computer, and to keep you from being able to create, keep you from being able to upload. That's what he's talking about. This is a very real thing. This is not just an off-the-cuff remark from this Israeli billionaire. And that's the way that Israel blesses us. Now, when people put that up, a lot of people came back and said, well, that's not Netanyahu at all. He doesn't reflect the Netanyahu government. Well, it turns out that he and Netanyahu have had their personal differences in Israel. As a matter of fact, in Israel, this Shlomo defended liberal democracy against Netanyahu. He said, we need freedom in Israel. He just doesn't want freedom for you. And understand that Netanyahu is more authoritarian than this guy who is saying we've got to end the First Amendment. Of course, he's not going to end freedoms for Israelis. He wants to end freedoms for Americans. Your freedom to criticize the Israelis must be ended. You don't think Netanyahu supports that? You don't think that they are on the same page with this? Well, if you think that, you haven't been paying attention. It's Netanyahu getting the Trump administration to penalize anybody who criticizes the state of Israel, calling it anti-Semitism. It's not anti-Semitism. It's against a political organization, which, as I pointed out last week, Netanyahu is, when you look at the vaccine, the pandemic stuff, he was one of the worst offenders of all the global leaders who were on the same page in lockstep. But he was one offering his people as lab rats to Pfizer, and some of the most restrictive arm twisting of any government in terms of forcing people to get the Trump shot.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
It's Bretzky. I don't know how they let me on this podcast, but while I'm here, I might as well tell you the only place to play blackjack, roulette, and live craps in Texas is SpinQuest.com, baby. That's SpinQuest.com. New users get a $30 coin package for only $10. I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all you 10-gallon hat wearers down there in Texas.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And now that that happened, and a lot of people got hurt in Israel, he harmed a lot of Jews there. And now that people have seen that same reaction that we're seeing here, people don't want to get the childhood shots. People are starting to question the whole vaccine thing. So the Netanyahu administration is talking about how they can penalize financially people who don't get the vaccine schedule that's been demanded. So, yeah, Netanyahu doesn't care even about the civil liberties of Jews in Israel. He certainly doesn't care about the civil liberties of Americans here. This guy who opposed him for attacking the freedoms and civil liberties of Jews, Shlomo Kramer, wants to, however, do the same thing to us. Both of them agree on punishing Israel. That's your blessing for all the people who misread that biblical passage there. So, again, censorship for us, but not for them. So a top Department of Justice official who trained Pam Bondi on ethics rules in the department was then fired. And if you don't think that these people are fully on board with this, if you don't think that Pam Bondi is fully on board with censorship over hate speech, this is an older clip of her talking about that in the context of criticizing Israel.
There's free speech and then there's hate speech. And there is no place, especially now, especially after what happened to Charlie, in our society.
Do you see more law enforcement going after these groups who are using hate speech and putting cuffs on people so we show them that some action is better than no action?
We will absolutely target you, go after you, if you are targeting anyone with hate speech, anything. And that's across the aisle.
Any speech that we hate, right? Yeah, we're going to go after you if you say anything that we hate, that we disagree with. And This has been going on for some. Look, if you don't tolerate speech that you disagree with, you don't tolerate free speech at all. There's no distinction between free speech and hate speech. If you have hate speech laws, that is a repudiation of free speech. Well, Bondi says she's going to hold former officials accountable for government weaponization. And she's talking about getting rid of the First Amendment as well. Again, she's going to decide what is true and false. She will decide what is weaponization. And, of course, if she comes after the First Amendment, it's not weaponization of government at all. Well, she better start with herself if she's going to come after people who are weaponizing government against other individuals. Did Brett Kavanaugh just apologize for betraying the Fourth Amendment? Maybe, says Reason. Back in September, the Supreme Court issued an unsigned emergency order that effectively permitted racial profiling as part of Trump's roving immigration crackdowns. Writing in concurrence, Kavanaugh claimed that it was only common sense to allow immigration agents to stop people based on such relevant factors, he said, as, quote, apparent ethnicity. Well, it's kind of interesting because now that he's seen a couple of months of this, he's had a change of heart. Reminds me very much of the case that I've talked about so many times about the Cherokee Trail of Tears and how Andrew Jackson went to the Supreme Court over this. You know, can I move these people? Can I deport them out of their homeland into some other place? And the Supreme Court greenlighted it. And then when they saw what was happening with the Trail of Tears, they had a change of heart and they reversed it. And Andrew Jackson famously said, well, they've issued their opinion. Let's see them enforce it. He had the force, and he actually had the law and the Constitution on his side because of the separation of powers. And I've used that illustration many times to say that we do not have to be slaves to Supreme Court decisions. And I used it in the context of abortion. I said governors should stand against that. And Roe v. Wade, which was a court case in Texas, the Texas governor at the time should have said, well, the Supreme Court's issued their opinion. Let's see them enforce it. I'm going to protect innocent life. But they didn't do that. And no government, no president ever did that. And so for decades, for about 50 years, we had 60-some-odd million babies killed because people didn't assert that. Well, Kavanaugh has now had a change of heart, just like SCOTUS did under the Cherokee decision, but it's not really going to make any difference. He already wrote that decision. He said last week, the Supreme Court issued another unsigned emergency order on December 23rd in another immigration-related case, except this time Kavanaugh penned a concurrence that approached the issue of rights violating federal officers quite differently. Here's what he wrote last week. The state and government disagree about whether the immigration officers have violated the Constitution in making certain immigration stops and arrests. The basic constitutional rules governing that dispute are longstanding and clear. The Fourth Amendment requires that immigration stops must be based on reasonable suspicion of illegal presence, not just your ethnicity. Stops must be brief, arrests must be based on probable cause, and the officers must not employ excessive force. Moreover, the officers must not make interior immigration stops or arrests based on race or ethnicity. When he originally penned the first decision, he said, well, I think if somebody is stopped because of their ethnicity, it'll be brief and it won't be a big deal, right? But then they saw that it really was a big deal in the way this is being done. Now, go back and get a conscience about what's being done with the TSA, what's being done with surveillance and all the rest of this stuff. I mean, this is just one small facet of what is happening. But as we move into 2026 already, the people are cheering the fact that this is the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. It's time for another one. Yet Chief Justice John Roberts says the nation's legal foundation is unshaken. No, it's been broken, shredded, burned. And he's had a big hand in all of this stuff as well. Everything's just fine. Well, why don't you take a look at civil asset forfeiture, the TSA, at the bombing of boats and other areas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I could go on forever. The former history major, I didn't know that John Roberts was a history major, extolled the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, which he said continue to survive through national discord. He cited President Calvin Coolidge's comments at the nation's 150th anniversary. He said, two great charters of freedom and justice remain firm and unshaken. Robert said, it was true then, and it's true now. And he's lying to you. You know, it's interesting that as a history professor, you ought to know this. It's not just the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence that are being destroyed. The Magna Carta is being defied and destroyed in the UK and elsewhere in principle, everywhere you look. Here's the situation, folks, and this is actually kind of comical, something that happened in Japan. Lance saw this and he went hysterical laughing, and he showed these clips to me. America has a reputation now of being a police state, because of war on drugs and other things like that. So much so that in Japan, they did a very, very detailed LARP, role-playing game, where everybody dressed up like American cops. They even had body cameras that were recording, and you'll see this video. They've been blurred out people's faces and everything. And they're knocking on doors and say, police! And then he turns around and says to the other guy, it's rocked! I mean, the door is locked. They're actually playing and role-playing games. And this is what I saw with asymmetric warfare, what the military was doing. But here's Japan playing American police. They've even got livery on the cars that says New York Police Department. And look, they're all in uniform and everything. This is the way these guys are playing this game. get to play cop. This is what America is exporting to the world. Aren't you proud? This is how they see us. Here's another actual raid that's going on. Oh, wait a second. I got the wrong thing.
Police Department, open the door. Police Department, open the door.
These are people playing police, playing American cops in Japan. Speaking in English.
Hey, hey, let's go.
Yeah, yeah, this, and they've got like airsoft pistols and all the rest of this stuff.
Police Sergeant.
Police Sergeant.
Show me 84.
Do I rock?
Shit. I rock.
The door is rocked.
Are you 98?
What's the room?
08, 08, 08.
Well, we're going to leave it at that. You get the idea. That's the way the world sees us, and it's accurate. John Roberts thinks that the Constitution is still in effect, the Bill of Rights is still in effect. As John Whitehead pointed out, I didn't realize this, but Trump's White House, on the very first day of office, they got rid of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights on the White House website. Think about that. Think that was a coincidence? It doesn't really matter if it's there or not. It's been effectively gotten rid of by them over and over again. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about what's happened over last year and what happened around New Year's. I'm going to take a quick break here. And by the way, this is a I've got lyrics for this song. I don't have anybody singing it. That's another issue altogether. But I put this together. This, you've heard this before. This actually, the tune is from theme from Rudy. You may like the lyrics. I hope you like the lyrics. We'll be right back. Americans will drop everything and anything to celebrate New Year's Eve, I say.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Do you like playing casino-style games like blackjack, baccarat, craps, and slots? Well, SpinQuest.com, that's SpinQuest.com, has over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. New players get $30 coin packages for only 10 bucks and instant cash prize redemption. Now, what are you doing? Put that barbecue down, quit sweeping those tumbleweeds, and get to playing.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
We did see this happen in New York. You had a massive hoax. You know, there's always a joke about, hey, I got a bridge I can sell you in Brooklyn, right? Well, it wasn't the bridge that they were selling, but it was fireworks display on the bridge that they were selling to people. And it turned out to be a hoax. You had thousands of people who showed up to watch what had gone around on social media was going to be a fireworks display at the Brooklyn Bridge. Thousands of people, and here's what happened. Nothing. Wait a minute. Yeah, it was a lie. There's no fireworks there. That's I thought that was really funny. Of course, we watched some of the fireworks. We watched the ball drop, which we'd usually do, and then turn it off. I don't care much for the entertainment that they have in New York anymore. But it's not my culture. There was a fireworks display in London that's all centered around the big eye of one of the big Ferris wheels that they have there. And we were watching it, and there were these projected images in the center of the wheel. I thought, wow, that's amazing. What is that? You know, how'd they do that? Are they projecting that? At first, there was a lot of smoke. Are they projecting that in the smoke? But it looked very, very flat. It didn't look like it had the profile of the smoke or anything, and didn't have any missing areas there. And so they kept doing it, one thing after the other. And so we looked it up, and it was being done broadcast by the BBC. The BBC was adding those graphics after the fact. And this is something that the Chinese communists had done a few years ago. They basically had a situation, people showed up for a fireworks display, but there was no fireworks display except on the internet. They added the fireworks in post, as we say. So I guess nobody has gone through and added the fireworks in post for the Brooklyn Bridge people. Thousands of people showed up to see that, and there was nothing there. And I guess, in a sense, that was the dog that did not bark over the weekend. Always in the past, whether it was 4th of July or whether it was New Year's Eve, here in Tennessee, we're up elevated in an area, and we would, you know, I haven't done fireworks for quite a while because I thought they were expensive, but there were tons of people all over the place that were doing fireworks, and we'd look out over the hills and we'd see them all over the place happening, but in the immediate area, there were a lot of people setting off fireworks in their own backyard that were very, very close to us. This year, nothing. Nothing at all. That's really strange. And then Karen started looking at posts from people that she knows in different areas of the country. They were saying the same thing. Her mother in Florida said the same thing. She said, as a matter of fact, usually people go out and they're banging on pots and pans at midnight. That wasn't even happening. I thought, so what is that telling us? First, my first impression was, well, fireworks are expensive. People are worried about the economy. Maybe they're not spending the money on the fireworks. But then I started thinking about it. They talk about different countries and whether or not fireworks are integral to New Year's Eve. And For a lot of people, this is an article from Zero Hedge, are fireworks integral to New Year's Eve in different countries? They said, well, it's bad for the environment. It's distressing to animals. And people with conditions such as PTSD as well as dangerous. And we did spend one New Year's Eve looking for a little Yorkshire Terrier that got freaked out and ran away at the house where we were celebrating. I know that animals get distressed about that. But that didn't happen this year. And like I said, not even any pots and pans. And part of it, I think it goes beyond economics. I think it also goes to our increasing isolation from each other. Typically, people in a neighborhood and everything are going to get together. You might have neighbors getting together, or you might have somebody having a party. I mean, if it's just you and your immediate family, you're going to go out and spend a lot of money on fireworks? Evidently not. They're pointing out that fireworks are a bigger deal, according to a poll in Germany, than anywhere else. 29% of the people believe they need to have fireworks. In the U.S., it's 27%, much lower in other countries like Mexico, only 14%. But the reality is that it's also part of the dying socialization. It's kind of funny to me that that was always the first thing somebody would say to us when we homeschooled our kids back in the early 90s. Getting them socialized or whatever. Look at the state of socialization now. Everybody is isolated. And that's even when it comes to the parties. The other thing I thought was interesting was this article coming out of the UK. An aversion to alcohol is making sober raves an increasingly popular alternative. And I thought about this. Look at all of the effort by the U.S. government to stop people from drinking, and what a total failure the 18th Amendment was. And yet now people are having, and this isn't just in the U.K., it's also in some Asian countries, they're trying to get healthy. They're tired of the way alcohol makes them feel. They're having coffee parties in the morning rather than having cocktail parties at night. That's the gist of this article. You know, people can figure this stuff out. They don't need government paternalism. S.A. Miller 123 says, under Trump, the U.S. has bombed 7 countries. That's right. Syria, Yemen, Somalia, Iraq, Iran, Nigeria, Venezuela. Scare tactics and land grabs. That's absolutely right. I guess that's one of the reasons why he thought he deserved a peace prize, because, you know, Obama started 7 wars, and Trump has done that many, or revived wars that were, in many cases, silent. DG8, thank you for the tip, says, David, no arrest for J6 tyranny, no arrest for COVID tyranny, no Fauci arrests, no Epstein client list arrests, no, the first arrest is a foreign leader. Pathetic. And even more pathetic that Trump, just before that, had issued a pardon for a guy who really was dealing drugs, the Honduran president. Now, he was caught, he was tried and convicted, put in jail. Trump released him. And then goes and gets Maduro, who, again, I think Maduro is corrupt. He's a communist, but.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure. But I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives. blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
That's none of our business, actually. And lies about the drug stuff were just cover for what they wanted to do. Well, as we look at what is coming this year, you know, I was on New Year's Eve, I was on Courtney Turner's show, not Courtney Turner, Shannon Joy, Shannon Joy's show, and I appreciate her having me on. And when we talked about what was coming up in the next year, my advice to them, and I'll give you my same advice to you, is I think this is going to be a very difficult year. I think things are going to really accelerate. We're going to see a lot of chaos. I think we're going to see wars. And I think it's a, you know, economically, it's going to be challenging for people as well. And so my advice to you would be to get a diary. And I'm not selling the book and the bookmark thing now that I sold before. I'm serious about it. I mean, get anything and write it down. I can write it down in something like I've got with this. Keep a record of it. But do it for your own growth. Do it because you can see God working in your life in retrospect, especially when you get into difficult times like this. And it'll be when you start to see things, just, you know, after a few months, you can go back and look and say, wow, that was kind of interesting how God worked that out in my life. And it's going to give you confidence for what you can do when you get other types of trials. It's so important that we don't forget, and we do forget. You know, we think we remember, but we don't. And I have had that experience over and over again, which really surprised me because really, when I write things down, I typically remember them. If I just read it or talk about it, a lot of times I'll forget it. But if I write something down, I usually remember it. And yet I was surprised to find that when I went back and looked at my diaries that I had forgotten a lot of the details of how God had answered prayer and how circumstances had been taken care of in various things, or what we learned from the difficult circumstances that were not removed. And so this is an opportunity, I think, this next year. It's going to be, you know, crisis is danger and opportunity. That's a Chinese symbol for crisis. Those two things, a symbol for danger, a symbol for opportunity. I think this is going to be a very dangerous year, and I think it's a real opportunity for spiritual growth for you. And to take a look at the things that are really important in your life. And so that would be my advice to you. In addition to that, I would say prepare. You know, I didn't have time to talk about it today, but there was an article about Victory Gardens and the massive quantity of vegetables that were grown during World War II by people through the Victory Gardens. The government actually actively encouraged people to grow food for their own use. I would suggest that. I would also suggest that you start to do some things for your own use in terms of energy and other things like that are so easily disrupted. As we move, and again, we're moving towards conflict and towards chaos. That has been the unifying theme of everything that Trump has done. Everything that he's done has been about conflict and chaos. And that's going to continue to escalate. And as we move into that kind of a situation, it's more important than ever that you prepare. And that's why I talk about the diaries and, you know, your own time with God. That is a kind of preparation that goes beyond the gardens and goes beyond having, you know, prepper items that are set there. You certainly need to do that as well. But, it's a time to prepare yourself and to think about what's coming on. Because things are going to be very challenging, I think. And I think you just need to look at it as an opportunity to grow in your relationship with God. That's a key thing. You know, even as we look at electricity prices, something that's that fundamental, food as well as electricity are going up rapidly. And there's some interesting articles that I don't have time to cover that talk about it from a partisan perspective. All these people say, well, look, you know, in the blue states, the prices of electricity have skyrocketed. And they said, and it's because these same, quote-unquote, blue states are putting in these state renewable mandates. And it's actually, That is something, the price of electricity is something that is controlled at the state level. There's even a federal law blocking the federal government from setting these electricity prices. And so that's why there's such a variation and why you can see that these different policies are raising the prices of stuff. Going back to 2008, I was working with a group that had a lawsuit going against Colorado. They were the very first state to do these renewable mandates, and we knew where it was going. We knew it would do exactly this type of thing. But we got clowns on the left who are pushing this for the green agenda, and we're going to have clowns on the right who are pushing it for the AI data centers. And that's why Trump is pushing to stop any regulation of AI at the state level, because that's where you could stop it. And he doesn't want it stopped. Thank you for joining us. Have a good day.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.
What's going on, Texas? It's Bluff here. Are you sick and tired of going to the rodeo, eating that great Texas barbecue, and sweeping tumbleweeds off your driveway? Well, don't worry. You can take a break now. SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com. It's a brand new social casino with over 1,000 games available for you to play from the comfort of your own home. Instant cash prize redemptions, and new players actually get $30 coin packages for only $10. Sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.